Hello and welcome to episode 40 of LDS Woman's Book Review Podcast. We've reached the big 4-0.
Dun, 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 dun.
And we also have a special guest with us here today. We have author Casey Grant, who will be, from here on out in the podcast, referred to as Kim.
Thank you, so I don't have a double personality going on.
She is the author of Avish, the book that was just released in, what, January?
Middle of January.
Middle of January. Mm-hmm. And it's a Book of Mormon historical fiction.
Yes. We like those.
We'll get into that a little bit, but that's where our special guest is with us here today.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
And we're excited to have you because we haven't had an author on the podcast for several months.
Yeah, it has been several months.
Holidays and everything.
A lot going on.
So, yes.
So we're excited to have an author with us again. We have such a big year coming up too. So you get
all right.
You get to kiss off on our big author year.
It's exciting.
It's going to be a big year.
Before we get into talking about Avish, we'll let the listeners know about a change in the way we're going to be doing things in the podcast. Just a small change. In the past, we've spent half an hour, even though we try to keep it to 15 minutes, talking about our recent reads. Instead, what we're doing now is posting our reviews of the books we've read on our Blogspot blog at ldswbr.blogspot.com. And there you can read about the books that we have reviewed. We don't review every book we read.
Not quite. That would be, we'd be reviewing every day.
But we try to review at least one book a week, each of us.
I'm on Wednesdays.
And I try to do Mondays.
And I'm Fridays.
So we try to do that, and then if there's any thing that we come across that we really like, we can toss that in there. And we also do Teaser Tuesdays now.
Yes. I love Teaser Tuesday. Even though I forget every Tuesday.
Even when Shanda texts me, give me your teaser.
I know, I get the email. It's Tuesday. Oh, yeah.
Well, and you know, the reason why I like them so much is because they're so easy to do.
Yes, they are. True. That's an easy post.
You just put up some quotes up there for the books that we're reading. Plus, it's fun because if we're reading a book that we're not going to be reviewing, we can put it on there. People know we've read it. We have a little quote.
Very true.
On there. And it has the information about where the meme came from. Should be reading blog, something like that.
Right.
And so it's a lot of fun. You can come and post a quote from the book you're reading in our comments so we can be teased. And it's a lot of fun. Joyce really likes it.
Yeah, Joyce.
Yes, she does.
I think there's one on her blog too.
Yes, she does.
And also, don't forget, we still have our original website, ldswomen.com, where the home of the podcast. That's where you can go and listen to podcasts online. And also see pictures of us.
Which is just the most exciting part of your life.
There's one of me you really should skip.
Which author is that?
Josie.
It wasn't. It was Michelle.
Michelle.
Shannon knows.
Oh? No, everyone's going to go look it up. I should have said that. But no, there was one recently with, I think it was when Gigi and Rachel Noonish came, and my hair was in a clip and it wasn't styled. And it was pretty bad. So we all have our.
We each have a very attractive picture.
My favorite is from last year's Whitney Awards when I'm standing next to Josie. Here's this tiny little thing, and there's me! Woo! Got this side view. It's very nice.
But you know, all the fun we had there.
We had a great time, and we love Josie.
We're going to be adding some new Whitney Award pictures soon, because if you guys haven't already seen or heard, the Whitney Award finalists for the 2009 Whitney Awards were announced a couple of weeks ago.
It was so exciting. So many of our favorites made it to the final five.
A lot of good books there.
Very good ones.
It's going to be a hard thing to vote. I'm really torn. In most categories, there's 2 to 3 that I'm not sure.
Rock, paper, scissors. To yourself.
To yourself, yeah.
But it's just going to be a lot of fun to go and see all of these awesome authors. I mean, Brandon Wool made it. And
not surprised, James Dashner did for The Maze Runner.
Mm. So many people made it into the Whitney Awards. So what do you think, Kim? You think you're going to be there next year?
Ooh, I hope so. But, you know, I'll let the readers decide. How's that?
Okay. You can find Avish actually listed on ldspublisher.blogspot.com.
Yes.
A little ways, page down a little bit, and on the right-hand side, there's a list of books that are eligible for Whitney Awards, and also a list that are not. So
right.
You can still see the books that are published by LDS authors, and you automatically know which ones are eligible. Which one's
that? And you know, we want to remind you that you can nominate any book throughout the year. You don't have to wait until the end of the year to nominate a book for a Whitney Award.
Oh, but it's
Award.
So much fun to wait until December 31st.
No, it's not. Especially if you're one of the people doing the reading for the different categories. Yeah. You want to have those books at early on when you're reading.
Especially when you just find out today that you really should be reading all of them.
Well, it's worry. Okay. We still love you, Hillary.
I actually haven't even read any of the 17 I still need to read yet.
I'm in the middle of six of the 12 I have left. So
you're okay. You still have time. As in years past, the Whitney Award Gala will be on the evening following the LDS Storymakers Conference, which is April 23rd through the 24th down at the Provo Marriott.
Yay.
I believe there's still spots available, which I hope so, because I haven't signed up yet.
Me either. So Sheila's the only one on the ball on this one, so
she was early. Plus, she got a discount by doing it early, but we had no money.
Exactly, and I happened to have some then, and now I don't. So it was a good thing.
So that'll work out really nice when we all three of us.
It will be fun.
That will be.
We're
so
looking
great.
Forward
to go down there and see. Everybody.
Yeah, and I think we'll be able to get some good interviewing in with all three of us down there, and being lining up some people that we want to. You know, if there's anyone that you're interested in us interviewing or questions that you may have for certain authors, let us know ahead of time. Then we can go there prepared and what we're going to be asking them.
LDSWBR@gmail.com. So you can reach us there, or of course individually if you have someone that, you know, Sheila's going to definitely hunt down and you want her to ask a question, just send her an email at Sheila@LDSWBR.com. But, you know, that email...
But
memory, there's not a lot of room with that one.
Exactly.
So you can also send it to ldswbr@gmail.com, and I'll make sure that Sheila gets it.
She'll send it
over.
Or
me.
Or Hillary.
If you really want to talk to Hillary.
Well, I tend to just wink at people and wave.
So, you can reach us there. If you haven't checked out the classes that they're offering.
Oh, phenomenal. Yeah. And the teachers, it's just unbelievable.
You don't have to pre-register for the classes, do you?
No.
You don't even really have to want to be a writer immediately, but be interested in the process of writing, of even editing or...
Yep.
So
that's where I'm at. I'm just interested in the process. I'm not ready to write yet. I don't have time.
But it gets you so enthused and you get so much information. And seriously...
Do you know what? And we should be clear that it's open to the general public. It's not like you have to, you don't even have to be LDS to go to it, I don't think. So.
No, not at all. Yeah. No,
but the information that they present there is...
invaluable.
Yeah, especially because the people they have teaching are people like Tristy and Jeff.
April Lynn Pike is going to be is teaching at
KU. I want to read her book.
Heather, Josie, I mean, Heather Moore, Josie Kilpat, Julie
Wright. I'm
Julie
sure
Wright,
she is.
Annette Lyon.
I'll bet Julie Coulter Brillen, too. I bet she's going to be doing Julie Bellin.
Oh, she's so hilarious.
Total word.
She's adorable, too.
She is.
On her blog. Annette Lyon,
Jeff Savage is there, James Dashner.
Of course, Rob.
To think. Rob's going to be teaching. Yeah. I mean, just a phenomenal group
of
there's
going to be editors there, and they're doing the... What do they call it, the boot camp, where you can bring your first couple of chapters. Is that full yet?
It's probably close to it. I was going to do it, but I just didn't have
anything ready to either.
And I was scared.
Oh, I'm terrified, but I'm not ready for it either. Anyway,
It's extra money, and you do have to do it. And if the first chapter contest, it's almost, the deadline's almost here. Yeah. It's like the 1st of March, and... I don't even have. I wondered if there was like a first paragraph contest.
Yeah, I'm like, where's the first
sentence contest?
Yeah. First line, opening line contest. There we go.
What happens like Saturday morning, right? Boot camp.
Friday morning and Saturday morning, both. And everyone says it's one of the best things you could ever do.
Well, and if you're not.
But if you're ready for it, then yeah.
If you're not interested in attending the LDS Storymakers Conference, at least come to the Whitney Award Gala. Afterwards, there's limited seating, so we have to make sure we can get tickets.
You do,
because they go fast. They serve a really good dinner there.
Oh, it's gonna be great.
But like, I think it's
don't eat the chicken. Just kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
But anyway, there's gonna be a lot of authors there too. So it's if you're not a writer,
you can go do some sightseeing.
Get your pictures taken. They're also very friendly.
They are.
Yes, they are.
We try not to bite, but you know.
Most of you are tame.
There you go.
Looks like he was going to bite me every time I shoved this microphone in his face.
He just gets that amused look on his face whenever you do that.
He's a character. We love Rob.
And also, if you guys aren't aware, a lot of LDS authors are on Twitter now. So,
a lot.
You can look up some of your favorite authors. Rob is hilarious.
Oh, he's fun to listen to.
And James Dashner's on there. Mm-hmm. And, Josie Kilpack.
Annette is.
Julie Coulter Ballon. And Annette's there.
A lot of them. Julie writes there. Yeah, she's
funny. I am just not a fan of Twitter. I think there's something wrong with me. I like
it. It's fast and easy. Are you on Twitter, Kim?
I have not learned to tweet.
It's very easy. Much easier than Facebook.
I have a lot of time.
And that's right there.
But the nice thing is that it just goes on and on. And when you have time, you glance, you see what's going on.
You're my Twitter, Shanda. You're my Twitter. You send me all the good stuff I want to read anyway. So
when I get a chance to. But that's the nice thing is if you don't get a chance to, no big deal.
That's the beauty of it. It doesn't take a lot of time. But what we're trying to say, if you are interested, go to LDS Storymakers website. Yeah. And they have the list. I think it's just LDSStorymakers.com, isn't it?
I think so.
Right. And they have the whole list of the classes and the authors that will be there.
And they've got performances that one night.
That's Friday night. Yeah.
If you want to Friday night dinner. The Whitney Awards Gala, go to WhitneyAwards.com. And you can purchase. There's a link there where you can purchase tickets there, and also see who the finalists are in all the categories.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yep. So very exciting.
It's just a good. Every year gets better and better with the quality of writing that there is. So yeah, I think that's everything.
Yeah, that's good. That is good.
But I did want to point out, if you have not been to our blog, ldswbr.blogspot.com, you're going to want to go.
Oh yes, definitely.
Not only all of our book reviews and some different author interviews and stuff, even back from Christmas time when we did our countdown.
Oh, that was fun. Great. So many. That was fun.
There's also a link to Sheila and I's, Sheila and my, whatever the proper
100 plus book challenges. Yes.
Yeah, I'm about 15.
You know what? I think I only have listed 14, but the last few books I read before the first round of judging I didn't get all of them on there for the Whitney after we did that. So I know it's probably a little bit more, but I haven't had time to update that either.
One day.
I will have a blog
one day.
You know what?
It's just going to suddenly miraculously appear and you're going to go, oh my gosh, Hillary has a blog.
Kim has a blog?
I have a website and a blog. And so my website is caseygrant.com, and my blog is caseygrantwriterscorner.blogspot.com. So
that is wonderful.
Blogspot neighbors, I guess.
Hello.
Yeah, I love Blogspot.
All right.
Definitely. And then you could link back to
us. I had someone ask me the other day, how many hits do you have? And I said, what does that mean?
You have to get your hit counter on there.
Yes. So, it's a process, all of this.
I don't have a hit counter on ours. Well, I do on the blog spot.
Right, but not on the on the other website.
You have to have ads on your...
Oh.
Have you been reading anything recently, Kim, that you would like to talk about?
Oh, you know, the latest book that I just finished reading, and it was because I'd heard so many people make comments about it, was The Book Thief. Marcus Zusak.
I want to read that on my list.
Yes.
It really was amazing. I mean, if a person could write a book and literally stop and think out every single word, I think he did.
Wow.
Because it is. It's like on every single page, you won't be able to not find like a little hidden jewel that he's put in there. It's really is amazing. Wow. Yeah, it was an amazing
book.
Read. So.
It's probably on my list.
It's such a unique style too. You have to get a little bit used to it, but then once you do, it's almost like reading a poem.
Really?
A long poem.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Did you feel the same way?
I haven't read it yet. That's just on my list.
It's on my list too.
Of my list of 890 books that I have on Goodreads that I want to read.
891 then.
Yeah, it is. That's why I'm going, whoa, tell me more about it.
I have about 890.
Isn't it sad?
Okay, I have like 300.
Yeah, I mean, reading books have to do with the Holocaust. It can be a little...
It is.
But yeah, it was just, it really was wonderful. It put a different perspective on it.
Mm. And I like that because I find it very fascinating also to read about the Holocaust in that time period. Yeah. And so that's why the main reason I first put it down. But on my to reads list.
I was like, you first put it down what?
Put it down.
Well, I was like, you read put it down.
To read.
Yeah, anyway,
the rest
that was the latest book
me.
I finished though. So I'm really anxious to dig into some Devil's Food Cake.
Oh, and you have it. You have a copy with you, right? Well, not right now, but you have.
But I do. Yeah, I have it at home.
Awesome.
And so.
Go check out my review of that on.
It was good.
It was last week.
It was a great review.
You can find us on Facebook too. I keep forgetting to say that.
Yeah, we're on Facebook.
Back on Facebook. We kind of took a little break because it was just crazy over the holidays.
It was.
back up on Facebook, so you can come find us, and we try to put our book review links on there too, so if that's all you do is Facebook, then you can find us there. And we're also on Twitter.
We are.
WBR.
We're all over the place.
I try to put links on there too to our reviews. So yeah, you're gonna like Devil's Fruitcake a lot. Well, I mean, I don't wanna
Well, I enjoy the other two, so I'm sure that this is gonna be wonderful. So I'm looking forward to it. In a bubble bath.
Yes.
You know,
oh, that's right.
Watching
so nice.
The kids, some chocolate. Yes, some chocolate. Mm.
It was nice though to take a break between reading for the judging and for this final voting here in order to read Avish, which now I didn't realize how much I thought of it as Avish.
The pronunciation.
I was wondering about this.
That was originally how I.
See, I didn't know that either. I always called it Avish.
I was set straight, so
I never even said it out loud before. Now, because we just emailed.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
It was Avish. I'm like, oh, I can say that. Now I'm all, I really didn't realize I was saying Avish in my head the whole time.
I was too.
Abby.
Exactly. So that's why I was also thinking it was Abby. Abish. It was Abish.
Well, we'll see. Since, you know, we're still trying to get the CD. Hint, hint. Oh, audio CD.
Oh, really?
What have they told you about that?
According to sales of the book?
I haven't heard very much. Originally, in fact, if you look on the back cover.
It says it on there.
It does say it. So originally
audiobook available on CD.
Yeah, originally it was going to be a package deal. I don't quite know what happened, and so I'm not going to say too much, but we'll see.
Interesting.
Maybe we can twist the right arm.
Well, I really think you shouldn't tell them. False advertising, yeah, you know.
Well, it's hard when people ask me about that, you know, when readers ask me about that, because I don't know what to tell them, and I, you know.
Well, I mean, you don't get a lot of control over that. I mean,
we're finding
out the more we do this, the little bit of control that authors really do have. Once they've written their stuff, it's like you lose control of it. So
That's true. And so, you know, I've been pleased with how things have gone. I love the cover.
You know what? I really like the cover,
too. Very happy about that.
It's beautiful.
But,
wasn't there a cover of a woman on one of the originally?
That was actually another writer.
You have got to be kidding.
Mm-hmm. She also, this book was supposed to have come out last year.
Oh.
I was scheduled for March of 2009. And then when the economy started having troubles and things kind of started to go around, they said, oops, who are we going to sacrifice? Well, it was the new writer, me. And so I was bumped from the lineup. It was hard. It was really sad. But you know what? I had a year to prepare. And I said, when it comes out for good, I'm going to be ready. And so, but then surprisingly, like the month after my book was supposed to have been released, another author did come out with a similar story on her.
Oh,
I think
my
it was
word.
Called, I'm trying to think, it was like Abish, Faith Among the Lamanites, something to that effect. I think her name was Brenda Anderson. I've yet to read the book, but I've read little snippets of it, and she is a good writer, so I have to give her credit.
So how similar are the stories?
Not all that similar,
to be honest. Good.
And so I read her synopsis, and they're different.
I remember seeing just briefly a glance of one that had a woman on the front.
Yeah, that must be hers.
It's kind of brown, a little muted.
Publisher. The blog, and so that's why when I saw that one, I thought they were the same. I'm glad that you clarified that, because I wonder if there's some of our listeners who are
wondering the same thing.
I know I'm still a little confused sometimes, but no. But no, this is my book, Abish, Daughter of God.
Yes, I love the cover.
The turquoise necklace on the cover. So
beautiful. That's
and I do. I think it's really striking.
Was it a turquoise necklace that she...
It was a turquoise necklace that her father gave her.
That's what I was hoping that that's the one.
Because among her people, the turquoise was a symbol of protection. And I discovered that when I was doing research on the Maya people. And the turquoice plays an important role.
Why don't you actually expound a little bit on that? Because I know that I read in the summary that you were inspired to write Amish's story because of some time you spent in...
I served a Spanish speaking mission to Southern California, and when I returned, I wanted to expand that studying a little bit more. I felt like I had a good grasp of the language, but I really wanted to immerse myself in it. And so I did a study abroad program when I was a senior at Weber State University, and we spent a semester in it was kind of a small little town in the state of Michoacán, which is just southwest of Mexico City.
Wonderful.
And, yeah, and we lived with families while we were there, and we had native teachers, and they taught us the history and the literature of Mexico. We did a lot of touring around to the archaeological sites.
Oh, that would be so fascinating.
It was a wonderful experience, especially because I was there with a lot of other students. And we were all of the same age group and same frame of mind. And so we really had a good time together. It was a great experience.
Fun.
But I loved that country. I loved the culture and everything to do with it. And so just, you know, to be able to put a little bit of that experience on paper,
for Mexico, like of that history that you wanted to tell? Or was
I wanted people
to story.
Like,
when did you know you wanted to write about Abish?
Well, originally it was Abish's story, but the fact that I had spent time there, I felt kind of, it gave me a little legitimacy, I feel,
okay,
to be able to write about that. And so, but yeah, I've always been fascinated by her as a person and wondering about her from the Book of Mormon. And, you know, I mean, to be one of only three women who are mentioned by name. You know, you have to wonder, why was that in the first place? And then to have so little said about her. And yes, we have a question.
I know, it's that funny.
So that's what I was going to ask about. It's like you've based the story of her around basically, what is it, 10 verses in Alma? Was it Alma Crum? I read it the other day. After I finished the book, I was like, I want to know how many verses there are. Because I was like, how did she do this?
Yeah, really the first mention of her is in Alma 19, chapter
19. And I reread that and I just went, oh my word. What a great way you tied in those 10 verses and built an entire story around it. I thought it was very, very
amazing,
interesting.
Well,
how you did that. And I liked
how it
tied together.
I had a little shift in my view of her, because I think probably like a lot of people, I imagine her being maybe an old woman, that she'd been a servant in the palace all of her life. But in trying to write a story about a strong woman, I really felt like I needed to take her out of the palace for a substantial amount of time to give her a variety of experiences and things that she was exposed to.
Worldly wisdom.
So exactly.
Yeah.
So that she could strengthen that testimony and have that level of courage that she needed when she finally was back in the palace again.
That's one of the things I liked about it. She started out really young, like in the story. I don't know,
13.
I think she was 13. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 12, 13. Mm-hmm. Very young. And it's like in some books you read, they tell you that she's growing and developing and that they're growing as a person and
maturing.
And they just basically tell you that's what's happening. And it's like in this one, I actually felt it. Like instead of having you say, she's growing and maturing, you know, which happens. It drives me crazy when it happens.
I know.
But this is one where you not only saw it, but you felt it. Like you kind of could see, you experienced it with her. You're like, oh, look at that. Another milestone kind of a thing without it being obnoxious and over,
because it's like, and I think it's because the way you bring it full circle in the story, because when she first, she's at the palace and then she's sent home and then she's at her house and you're seeing her house for the first time through her. It's like she's there for the first time too, because she's been gone for about 5 years.
Exactly. If you could, if you could think of the difference between an 8-year-old and a 13-year-old's perspective on something.
Oh, sure. Huge.
And then she comes back again after all of the hardships she went through from that time, and you can see from the first time she goes to her house to the next time, and that
it's my own little chiasmus.
That's how I think she showed the maturity that you can.
But it was done subtly,
in a way that wasn't shoving it down.
I was thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't making us know about it. You just let us experience it along with her, which is
the agonizing details of, you know. And so she wasn't always at her best. And
no,
I didn't hide that either.
No, she struggles with patience and being a little judgmental
and who isn't?
But I was just gonna say,
and of course this is all completely made up, because you know I don't struggle with any of that.
No, neither we for that matter.
Rolling her eyes.
If I remember correctly, because I haven't read Alma 19 as recently as Hillary has.
Okay.
But the only time it mentions her is just during Ammon's visit.
That is the only time, specifically.
And so there's no history.
There's no history before and there's no history after.
History.
Yes.
I think there's an element of fun to that, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but was there ever a point that was just really overwhelming or intimidating to try and make up this history for this person that you don't know? There's nothing more about her than what is in those few verses. Did you ever hit a wall about what to do next? Or maybe, I mean, how did you decide her course through her life to bring her into the throne room of that day?
Well, I'd like to say that I'm one of those polished authors who makes an outline that's very detailed. I'm afraid I don't. I really don't. I knew the beginning. I knew the end. And to be honest, a lot of the middle kind of had to fill in itself. And, you know, there were times when I'd put it aside and I'd kind of sit back and, you know, for a few days I'd mull it over. And then an idea would come, or I'd see a direction that I wanted to go and just try to get all those pieces fitting together. So, but I'm not an outline writer. And
but
I
should, you know, you're not the only, no.
I think most of them,
that's
where we heard it.
Yeah. Just that, and I think people that it was Brandon Sanderson that we talked about at the very beginning at the keynote speaker. And I just recall them saying that, you know, some do and some don't, but they should try doing it the other way, opposite.
Yes.
Yeah, what? Book Academy. But, you know, the thing is, the way I look at it, I think you're more free to have the story flow if you don't have a set outline.
Yeah. Now, you know? if you don't do an outline, I do have to admit, you will probably do more editing.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, I can see
but
that.
But you know what? But I can live with that because I don't have a problem with going back and editing.
Right.
I mean, I should know. This book originally started off 500 pages.
Oh my goodness.
And
amazing.
Then it went to 400 pages, and then they told me it had to be 350, and then they told me it might be 400 again, and then it went back to 350. So, you know, I know about editing, and I can rip my own work apart, and I can put it back together.
See, that just seems daunting to me.
Yeah,
I have to do that.
But,
don't you have to have an anchor point or a few anchor points at least? Even if you don't have a specific outline.
Yes, and for me the anchor points,
like,
if
next anchor point to work towards.
Yeah, if you notice, the book is divided into to sections.
Right. Yes.
You know, and in each section was a different area of focus and something that I want to accomplish during that particular section. So I knew the section. So if I got stumped, I could, you know, work within that section and then move on to the next section. And I knew what the section after that was going to be.
Well, that
makes
sense.
And where she would be and during what time frame.
That makes sense.
And so, because I did have to get her in the palace at 91 BC, and that was all there was to it. So
that was the main anchor point.
Yes, that was the
main
point.
I have a question.
Yes.
Okay, so when you did you pitch the idea to the publisher, or did you already have it written and submitted it?
It was already written. And it,
really?
And I submitted
it. That's
all 500
awesome.
Pages?
Yes, all 500 pages. Was I naive and completely unknowing?
How
about
long did it take
business?
You to
no, I would
write this originally?
Thing,
so. I mean, the 500 pages originally, how long did, how many years?
Well,
6 months?
Oh, I mean. No, it was longer than a year. Because I had to do about 3 to 4 months worth just of research before I felt like I had just that foundation to work from, to where I didn't have to completely be going back every single paragraph and trying to make sure I was correct on this. Correct on that. And so I wanted to make sure I knew the geography, I knew the timeline, I knew what was happening, I knew the map. I was ready to go with that aspect.
Wow.
But I was very naive, and I said, I'm gonna get a publisher. And so I submitted it, and after 3 months I said, no, aren't I supposed to be hearing something back by now?
Oh, I love this.
You know, because isn't that what they tell you? You know, 2 to 3 months. And so I emailed them. They said, well, didn't you get our email? We
oh,
sent it
no.
out to you a month ago.
You have got to be kidding.
And we wanted to work with you, but it needs to be edited because it's too long. And so, and I admit there were tears.
Did you find it?
Oh, no, I never found the original email, so I won't say whether they really sent it or not. but no, I got no email, and I knew nothing.
So this was the first company that you sent your manuscript to, then?
You know what? I kind of queried it to Deseret Book, but not officially. My husband had a connection and knew somebody there.
Right.
And so I just kind of, you know, toyed with that idea, but was basically told that, you know, they're not the source for most of the fiction.
And true.
You know, for the LDS fiction that's being written. And so if I was going to make a career out of that, then being with Covenant made more sense. And so
you're so lucky. Yeah. I mean, seriously, first. Yeah.
And it was, and it was, and it was great timing, really, because they let me know, they said, you know, we've been looking for a book on this topic, and, wow, and this is the type that we've wanted, and so, wow, you know.
This
so
was a meant, right in there. Yeah, no, this was a meant to be. I mean, yeah,
so
just how it all worked together.
Place, and I was breathing a sigh of relief, and, you know.
Until you
got bumped. Until the next year, you know.
We were just kidding. We don't need you right now.
Yeah, exactly. So you're dispensable.
A little bit of a personal question.
Sure.
Because when you were talking about all the research, the 4 or 5 months that you spent just researching so you could know it well enough that you wouldn't have to question what you were writing.
Yeah.
How did that affect your testimony at that time? Did it?
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, I was asked this question, and hopefully I'll be able to give a little bit, you know, more concise and better answer. Well, I was asked this when the Standard Examiner interviewed me a few weeks ago, and I think I babbled to her, and she was able to make it sound like I knew what I was talking about when she actually wrote the article. So we'll see if I can put this together. But yes, it was a faith building experience, you know, doing all that research. I already had a testimony, of course, of the Book of Mormon,
right,
and that it was of a divine nature. But in just going through and, you know, comparing the locations and the names of the cities and their relationship one to another. How many days did it take to get from here to there? And was it up? Was it down? Was it in this, you know, part of, and, you know, how could Joseph Smith have, you know, gone through and worked on this from beginning to end and had all of that to where it was all completely correct? There are no inconsistencies. No. There are no, you know, discrepancies as far as any of that.
And he didn't have to cut back his 500 pages either.
And he did not have to cut pages and do the myriad of other editing that occurred after that.
He wasn't blessed with that. No. Schooling and knowledge.
Well, there were, but some of them were automatically editing.
That's true.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be a nice thing to have it just do that automatically as you wrote out? That'd be fabulous.
That's a goal to work towards as a writer.
I just can't imagine putting that much research into the locale and even just the day-to-day things, how they lived, and have that not affect me, or at least feel more of a bond over the pages.
Oh, absolutely.
You read the Book of Mormon, and yes, we know it's true. It really happened, but and we're supposed to apply it to our daily lives and really.
But when you stop and think about these as real people,
but the people
and how did they live? How did they raise their children? How did they, you know, survive? Right.
What was dinner like for them?
Exactly.
I know. I like that.
What did they eat for breakfast? I mean, I don't
usually
think
kind
too.
Of usually
no,
kind of
probably
like a
not.
Corn,
I was
corn
just
pancakes.
Gonna say maize so, something.
Yeah, lots of things with corn.
Maybe they ate a lot of the same things for every meal. I mean, it's not like they had a McDonald's on the corner.
Probably it was a good thing that they didn't. They were probably a lot more healthy than we are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How could you not have? I have more of a connection with them.
Mm-hmm.
After all,
oh, I know. I feel like Abish is my friend.
Mm.
Now, I really do. And if I go to heaven one day and I meet her, I hope she doesn't come up and say, oh, boy. You
tell her to sign your book. Have her sign your book.
Yes.
I hope she'll approve of what I've done with her life. If it's completely not anything that happened to her, I apologize in advance. But
yes,
that's true.
You're guaranteed to have that part right.
Yes, we know that she was strong and courageous, and that she made the right decision.
See, and it had to lead up to her somehow, and the way you presented it made perfect sense. It's like, how would she have an inn in the palace if she hadn't been in there at some point in her life? So it was, I like the way you tied it in without it being like, oh, all of a sudden she shows up in the palace and da da da, you know, kind of a moment.
Yeah.
I like that.
I really like
thank
how you.
You
wrote the queen.
Mm. Yes.
I picture her as just being someone very, very regal, very poised, and yet conflicted.
But
you know,
but genuine and kind,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
unlike her mother,
and wanting to have an influence on her people, and wanting her husband to be a better ruler, and her people to be a better people.
Well, I like how you conflicted her with her mother too, because usually in most books, well, a lot of books we read, that there's no relationship that the mother-daughter relationship is strong or it's really conflicted. But I mean, that was really unique where it's like she walks through the door after being released from the palace and her mom's like, oh,
uh-oh. Oh, great. You again. You
yeah, no interest whatsoever. Really.
And you don't even get the gist of what, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. With you.
And you don't even get it. You're like, what is wrong with this woman? I'm sitting there going, what a horrible mother. Yeah. This is just awful. Until you get to the end and you get it. Like, but it still doesn't make it okay.
It still doesn't make it okay.
And, but you and get it. You at least understand where she's coming from.
I think being an adult, I think we can look back at our parents and we can see where they made mistakes, but that sometimes they were doing the best that they could with what they knew at the time.
And see, and that's basically the gist. Well, she does say
that.
It's
coming to terms with that. Yeah. No, our parents aren't perfect. They didn't raise us perfectly or give us everything we possibly could have needed. But, you know.
And the compassion that Avish had for her mom, even after everything.
Yeah.
I mean, she still cares about her, even after all of the stuff that she put her through. She still wants the best for her. Mm-hmm. But I know.
Showed a little bit of her growth, too. So.
What's going on with Jared? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, let's talk about Jared.
Well, hopefully there'll be a sequel coming out next year. I mean, you'll get to find out. So
it does great just standing on its own, and the ending is satisfactory enough. But
yes, it is.
You know, I mean, there's just this whole, now that we know Avish and who she is as you've presented her.
Well, a little bit more resolved with the people in her life.
But there's still so much more. Yeah. There's still so much more that she has her whole life ahead of her.
I mean, she's only, 22 or something like that by the end of the book?
Feel like she's lived
a life
by the time, you know?
Yeah. Well, you'll find out more about her in the sequel. I'm really excited about it because I do. I take her and I progress her through her life and show how a lot of these women became the mothers of the stripling warriors.
Oh, I love that.
Oh, that's exciting. Very exciting.
So I'm going to take that and kind of put that kind of a twist on it.
Nice.
Because we all know they had wonderful mothers, and we'd all like our children to say the same things about us, you know, and be like them.
Those are several mothers I would really like to interview.
Amen.
Or learn from. Learn from their...
That's why I would want stripling.
They need to write a book. Like, work, learn at their knees, you know? Exactly. That's exactly what I would love.
What I'm doing wrong, because I know it's a lot, you know? Was their secret anything more than just simple faith?
Yeah.
Or obedience? It might not have been anything complicated. We might be making...
I still don't think they were perfect mothers. I think they were overprotective still, and they worried too much, and they yelled at their children sometimes.
Exactly. I was going to say, aren't we all bad?
But I think when it came down to it, I think that their children knew that they had a testimony, and that they knew that they believed in that foundation of Christ, who was to come. And that's what we have to remember, too.
Oh, yeah, totally. That's right.
That was to come. That he was not there yet.
That's right.
And so how much more to have a testimony of someone who had not even been on the earth? And so I think it just reminds us of the kind of people that they were.
Well, you make a
these believers.
When they were not perfect women, but there was one thing that was common in all of them, and that was that faith.
Mm-hmm. Or as their sons put it, that their mothers knew. They go so far as to say their mothers knew. Yeah.
Their mothers knew. So. And because when you have that kind of a rock to build on, children, no matter what century we're living in, they look to their parents and their elders and they see things. And when they see something like that never changes, that is always there like a rock,
that becomes, helps their foundation too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So have you already written it?
It's written. It's in. I've sent it in for evaluation. So.
Is it over 500 pages?
It is not.
I learned
my lesson. I try not to make too many of the same mistakes twice, and so I learned my lesson. But I'm really pleased with it. I felt like I'd grown as a writer, and I had learned some things that maybe I didn't.
You know what though?
Well, I figured out the first time around. So.
For a first time writer, usually. We've read enough books now at this point, and even before we did this, we've read enough that you can almost always pick out that first writer's first book.
You can.
And this was one where I didn't feel it.
It didn't have.
It.
No, no, but it just has a certain feel to it. This didn't feel that way.
No, it didn't.
It just doesn't.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, and I think you can feel the confidence in the writer, too.
I'll agree with that completely.
Well, I'll attribute that to the years of being in writers' groups and kind of working in that situation. Because when the notion very first came into my mind to start writing, I didn't have a clue. I didn't know what to do. And I've looked back at some of those early manuscripts, and they're a little bit more like that. But by the time I tackled Avish, I'd put the work in, and I'd done a little bit of the. You know, the heavy lifting to be ready for it. So.
Do you feel more confident having turned in the sequel than you did when you first submitted Avish?
I do.
Even if
I can look at it. Yes. Yeah, I look at it more, I can look at it objectively and say, yeah, I did good. I think I did good.
I'm sorry, did you say objectively?
In your next book too. I mean,
that sounds great.
Talking about the difference between when you're writing the first book, and yes, you put a lot of hard work into that, and you deserve to feel good about yourself. You have a published work. I mean, that's more than anyone.
Yes, exactly.
But also, by the time you get to number two and you've been able to build on what you started with the first, I can't see how you cannot feel that much more confidence. I mean, obviously you do.
You're more comfortable with it.
And we're going to be able to see that in your writing.
Yeah, I feel like I've slipped into my writer's skin a little bit.
Oh, that just sounds so exciting. If that would just be feel so good. It's like, that's where I would love to slip someday.
Yeah.
Well, tell me, one thing I'm curious about. I know a lot of times writers don't always like to stay in the same genre. Mm. If you could slip into another genre, where would you be sliding to?
Well, I kind of did, because I don't know how much I should say.
See, I love these questions. They're always exciting.
Well, interestingly enough, when it was time for Abish to come out, I've kind of got a little bit of a vibe from the publisher that if I wanted to steer away from Book of Mormon fiction, that I would be encouraged to do so, because it wasn't necessarily being their bestsellers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, you know, being the, you know, the good little, you know, author that I was, sure, I can do that.
Oh,
and so I've had another book accepted by them, which
they
said would be coming out spring of next year. But, you know, with an Abish sequel, who knows what that will probably throw a wrench into their works, I'm sure, of when that will happen. But it is now.
What genre is it? Can you spell that at least?
Suspense.
Oh. Yeah.
I just don't think you can go wrong with mysteries.
You can. Seriously.
And you know what? It was fun. I enjoyed.
But for the most part, that's where all the cells.
It is.
Are.
Right. Really? Yes.
Well, not all of them,
but a good majority.
And it's what I enjoy. Yes. I mean, it's the type of genre I enjoy as well. I love mystery suspense novels, and so and I enjoyed writing it, and it was fun. And it does take place in a similar setting. It's going to be in Mexico.
Oh, I love
it. But with a modern twist.
Okay, that's what I put it.
And so, where if you could picture kind of a little more innocent, naive girl from Utah who gets a job with a San Diego advertising agency. And she is sent with a team down to Mexico City to work on a tourism campaign. Only she finds out that maybe somebody in the group is there for an ulterior motive, such as brokering some drug deals.
Oh, no.
Oh, that sounds great.
Nice.
With the Mexico cartels and the...
See, we're all interested.
Cartels.
You got our attention.
Yeah, you know, you never know. I remember with Stephanie Black, we were all wanting her to write the sequel to The Believer, but they wanted her. Well, I know, but they didn't want to get it published. They wanted her to write a mystery suspense, remember?
Yeah.
And that's when she wrote Fool Me Twice.
Yep.
And then she's written another one.
You
so you
I
never
like
know.
She,
they may sneak it in before the sequel.
Do you know what, though, I liked
you
about?
Never know.
She did the first, it's like you could almost feel it snuck in with that Fool Me Twice, and then it's like she got into her own little element in Method of Madness.
Oh, definitely.
I really like that.
It's so good.
So it'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So
you never know. You might be like, Amish was great, and the sequel, and maybe the third.
Yeah, well. That one has not been written. But the idea is mulling around. But yeah, and I really enjoy it. And I love the Hispanic people and the culture, and, you know, having been exposed to that. And so I'm kind of finding
truly.
A tendency.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because in this next book, and tentatively the title is The Serpent Waits, but we'll see. I've had, you know, ulterior.
We know how titles go.
Yeah, we know how titles
go.
Yeah,
we heard that.
Did you choose this title?
I did.
I'm curious.
Yeah.
Was this your original title and they kept it?
Originally, I think it was just going to be Abish.
Right.
Mm. And so, I think it was good that they added it. And if there's a sequel, it'll help differentiate between.
Right. That's
those
true.
Two, a little bit more. But anyway, so as far as The Serpent Waits, we'll see what happens with that. But I'm able to incorporate my Spanish and.
Oh, nice.
And, because one of the main characters who may be a love interest happens to be Hispanic, but should she trust him? That's.
This is something you've got our interest already. This is something we love.
I adore it.
I do too.
I adore it. I think I gave someone a hard time on one of my blogs because they did. Oh, it was, what's his bucket? The one guy that wrote that one book.
Yeah, I know exactly who
that one. Remember?
Dead Wrong.
No.
No. It's the other, his new writer, Crum. What's his name?
I have no clue.
Anyway, I gave him crap because he didn't, oh, I shouldn't have said that. I gave him a lot of trouble because of not putting any bit of romance in it. But it was really funny.
You have to have a little bit. I mean, come
Tim
on.
Bone! Yes, that's it.
He didn't,
not even a lick.
Like one half of a sentence worth of
oh, this. That's right. That was just terrible. Yes.
He's a guy.
I know.
No,
but
we can't
really
even
write.
I know.
I mean,
I know what we want. I know what we need.
As a woman, and I think. Yes.
Oh, yeah, you know, Jeff did okay. Jeff did all right with, sort of.
Well, we his next book's coming out, so maybe we'll see how he does.
Oh,
it really
days.
Is. It really is coming out this year.
Well, we're excited. I can't wait. I'm already, like, okay. I'm
we're excited.
Copy.
We're there. We want to.
It'd be good to have a copy of the...
Sure.
She's looking at us.
She's like, really? Okay.
We can get through it faster if we get.
Yeah, and arcs are our favorites.
Remember that.
Well, we have a hard time asking for that because we know times are tight and things like that. But when we want to be able to interview you and know what we're talking about and
absolutely.
The authors and stuff. So,
and as I learn the process better, then I will be better prepared in the future too. and I will send wonderful reviewers copies of my book.
That would be fantastic. Oh, no, that's great.
I'll try to be wonderful.
Oh, dear.
And honest.
Yes.
You know, I overall.
Because that's what I want. I do want honest feedback because, you know, it's important for me to connect with the readers and to make sure that, you know, they're appreciating what I do, but that I'm also writing in a way in which they can appreciate it.
Mm. Right.
You know.
So those of you who haven't read Abish yet and who are interested, to summarize, if you can summarize it in a way that would tell them, our listeners, why they should read it, what would you say?
Boy, you can,
how do you feel
you can
it would enrich them?
How would it would enrich them?
Well, it's a really good story.
Yeah. True. It has a great story.
Well, thank you. Well, first and foremost, I would like people to consider what a strong and a courageous woman Abish must have been. Even though there is so little said about her, just considering the time and the circumstances that she lived in.
How women were treated.
Yes. Just, you know, and being in that situation, obviously God knew that she was capable of completing that task, or he wouldn't have left her the only one standing.
That just gave me chills.
And so,
do you know that Heavenly Father would trust us ahead of time, and he knows.
And it only
what
makes sense that he knew her path throughout her life as well. And I think that we all can relate to that. I think we can all look back on our life, and that's how I wanted to portray her as well. She didn't always look ahead and see what was going on.
Kate, you're making
and how
me cry. I don't
place.
Know why that just really touched me. You know, the fact that...
Yeah, but she looked back and she said, yes, this is when God touched my life. This is when God placed me here. This is when God needed this of me. And because she was doing what she was supposed to have been doing, then she was able to fulfill that.
I like how she questioned. I mean, most...
Oh,
you know,
because I constantly
question. Yeah, it's like, okay, and you read it somewhere, you're just like, are you kidding? You know, people go, oh, I do what I'm told. And it's like, well, you know what? We aren't all that perfect. Right. Yeah. I'm like, I love
think,
that she
I
wasn't perfect.
I don't think even somebody with perfect faith never questions.
Mm.
I mean, you know, when you read, you know, the stories of, you know, President Hinckley on his mission.
Yeah.
Why am I here? And you think, oh, but he must have been perfect. He must have just been, you know, perfect that way. And even when you think of, you know, of women like Emma Smith or of,
she had
you know,
so many doubts and went through so much.
Yeah.
And but she still, I think she still had that faith and knew.
Exactly.
And believed, you know, in the gospel.
And lose as much as she did.
Oh, I don't know.
And not question. I think if you don't question, you never truly know.
Exactly.
I really believe that. I
mean, I'm over here crying. You know, should have made me cry.
I'm sorry.
To cry
it's just all very touching
just,
thinking
I really
about.
I appreciate how Abish questions. Like, she recognized when other people
had stronger faith. Yeah.
Like
and even the queen had,
like,
stronger faith than.
Yeah. Than I do. When they brought her husband to her, when he had was in the sleep of God, is that what they call it?
Yeah. I can't remember.
And, you know, but the thing is, that even though she recognized when someone else was displaying more faith than her at the moment, she didn't give up. She didn't say, oh, I guess I'm just not good enough.
But she used it as something to aspire to.
To work.
And how she should be.
Yeah, so that I can be, you know, if they can have that level of faith, then I need to kick it up a notch.
Exactly.
And I really appreciated that about her, too.
I did, too.
It's inspiring. It really is, because in all of you, you know, as you go through different things in life, you're not always going to have that as strong a testimony. Mm. I mean, you don't have a strong testimony your whole life. You go through ups and downs. And to see a character like this go through the same thing and know that, that they were strong women, I think it just really inspires you to rise up to that level too. Because yeah, and know that you can get through.
And it reminds us that God is mindful of all.
Yes,
of
us. Yes. So, because you do feel alone.
Hard, mm-hmm. really are, like it says in the Book mm-hmm. of Mormon, for our good, mm. for our learning and experience,
and staying faithful to what we should. I mean, that's the hard part. Is you know we want to be knocked down, but or feel like or we do feel knocked down, but staying strong through it. That's why I love to read books with strong women characters because I need that.
Amen.
Don't, I mean, seriously. It's,
I mean, I love strong characters, but I like that the entire, just the, there's just something really special about her because we hear so little about her in the scriptures and she's one of the few. And that's what made it so interesting to me is I went, oh, Abish at the time. Now Abish.
Yeah. Now that we've changed her name.
But, just reading and going, wow, I wonder why she, and that's what I remember reading when I was reading it was a while back. I was reading Alma, but I wondered, I'm like, okay, that's kind of like an interesting little tidbit to throw in there. I wonder why that was put in there. And the way you presented it made it go, oh, well, that makes total sense how she would be in that position and why and stuff. I just like the way it was like fit in perfectly. It fit everything. It just, it really meshed well.
A special call mm-hmm. to be the one to go mm-hmm. and call everyone else.
Oh, absolutely.
But
I didn't want to show that she was running around and talking to strangers.
Mm-hmm.
So I
she was finding her yeah, people she knew.
Yeah, she was finding the people that she knew, that she had some contact with, and that she'd already laid a little bit of groundwork with. And so
I like how she could find.
Mm. Oh, she could. Yeah.
Yes.
In fact, when I was writing the character in my mind, I kind of pictured her as a cross between Jennifer Garner and Alias and Pocahontas.
Nice.
I love it. That's great.
Very nice.
And so those were my prompts. So.
You know, I think you should feel very blessed that you've been prompted, that you were prompted to write about her, you know, because not everyone has written about her. Like you said, there's very few accounts written about her. And that you were the one to, that was chosen. Who knows? Maybe you were friends on the line before,
that would be nice
and
to
you
know.
Were. Like you know, when
I'd
you think about like
her
that,
approval one day.
Just because.
Oh, I'm sure you'll get it.
To have had that, mm-hmm. you know, the feelings of knowing to write that story and being
and it's
blessed
a beautiful
with all
story.
Of it.
It
really I just
is.
Think that's a neat privilege.
You'll love it, Sheila.
Well, I am trying my hardest. I just got the book last night, so. I'm going to keep reading.
The research that you did really comes through, and the
it does.
You are able to comfortably write about everyday happenings as if
you were there, as if you knew about it.
And that's a tough line. Doing, I found that doing research is a little bit tricky because you can get so overwhelmed by the research, and you think, "Ooh, I learned this. I have to put it in my book."
Yeah.
You know, and so I had to try to figure out where that balance was. To where I included enough to where it would be interesting to people and that, you know, they would say, yeah, I can feel like I'm there. I can feel like I can understand right. how they lived. But not so much to where people are going, whoa, you know, two
enough
page
with the
description,
history.
Yeah. The head girdle, you
I'm
know.
Feeling totally overwhelmed with the history.
Because a lot of people they want to hear a good story that has been, you
yeah,
know, was
so
placed
be
in history,
has
but
to be
not.
Between the research and the story.
Exactly. They yeah. don't want to take so, a history.
There
class.
Is
they
a delicate
a
balance.
Story.
And I think you did that part very well because I felt like I learned something without having it thrown at me and yeah. thrown down my throat, you know,
you
as a reader.
Every rock along the road, then, or exactly how her. I mean, you kind of give a basic description and let us fill in the rest.
Yeah, because I like to do that too. I do like to fill in. I mean, I and maybe it's something I need to work on a little bit more. Is when you know I do physically describe people, but I always like to imagine people in my mind.
Jared sounded so hot.
He was.
Oh, I'm so sweet.
Of course,
I just
my
really
husband goes,
him.
Now he's based on me, right?
You say,
of course, dear.
Of course. And so.
Well, and I liked how when she was going to return with Ammon, and then the plans changed.
Yes.
Personal revelation yes. that way, you know, it kind of showed that in the story.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they crossed paths, maybe they didn't before. Yes. But, you know.
I like the throwing in of the king and also. I think it was, wasn't it Alma? It was the prophet. I can't remember now.
Mosiah.
That was Mosiah.
I had to have
I like that.
Them. You know, don't you just feel like, oh, if you could just sit in a room with them.
Oh, yeah.
Just for a few hours.
Definitely.
Oh.
It'd be fascinating.
So,
for experience.
Well, we will eventually.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Someday that will happen. Girls. Exactly. Yes. Someday.
Yes. So I had to have her meet them. I just couldn't let that go. That they were there and alive at the same time and not meet each other. So that she could, you know, gain some of their strength. And I think that was important for her, too.
Yep, I agree.
Another step in her
development.
Mm-hmm. And her maturity. Yeah.
I like that.
Well, and I kind of liked the way you, how we saw what happened with the sheep.
Oh.
And Ammon.
Oh, yeah, that was actually really gross.
Like, how it happened.
But cool.
His eyes. I really, because, you know, we read about it.
The footing on the floor. Like, oh.
Actually from Ammon.
I know, and you know, that's my 8-year-old's favorite part of Book of Mormon. Why is that? She's such a sweet little thing, but she loves the cutting off of the arms.
Oh, dear.
And I don't know why, but in my mind also, when I wrote that part, I had to justify in my mind why he would do something that really is quite brutal.
Yeah, and
gross.
I
mean, cutting off people's arms. I mean, that's really, really brutal. But as you kind of got from the book, spoiler. Sorry. As you got from the book, you know, I doubt that these people were only guilty of stealing sheep.
Yeah.
You know, well, and so.
It's not like you didn't already read about that in the script.
I know. I've already read the story. Yeah. Well, and it was not funny.
I've never heard
when
of
they. When they roll out the arms, I'm like, cool, ew.
Especially because, you know, it's not too much description.
No, it's not like terrible or anything, but no.
Yeah, this is...
Well, in the scriptures it say, and he smote their arms or something. So I'm like, oh, smote. And then you're like, cut off their arms. I'm like, ew! But you read smote means the same thing. So it's like,
It's true.
And the way the proceedings, how when you know, when he comes in and I had forgotten that they're said anything for like an hour.
That was an easy
stared
part
at
to
arms.
Write.
That was your favorite part.
And there was silence for the space of an hour.
could you imagine standing there for an hour after asking the king what he wanted from me?
It would make me so nervous.
Well, and I like your description.
Of course, everyone was intimidated by the king, and so if he didn't speak, you didn't speak, and so.
Well, go ahead.
I think during that time, that's when Ammon was really reading the king. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just standing there. He was receiving inspiration through the spirit about.
About what was the king's thoughts?
Yeah, of course. Why not? That'd be the perfect time to really just to receive that inspiration about what's going to happen next, and especially when to speak next, because the king didn't speak for that hour. It was
You know, I like your description of Ammon too. In my mind, I picture Arnold Freeberg's paintings. You know, this is this big muscular guy cut and stuff. So I still in my mind he will always look that way, but the way you described him, it made him such a what?
Maybe he's a little more vulnerable.
A little bit more normal. Not that he's not abnormal in the pictures, but I mean, I felt like, okay, I'm going to stop. But, you know what I mean? Do what I mean? Yeah, he felt more relatable, like he was less out of reach. So kind of feeling.
That's, you know, that you make a good point with that, though.
I happen to think he's like the
cutest. Inspired you to read English by now. I mean,
please do.
There's so much to be found in there. It's a historical fiction. It's I can't wait to read your mystery suspense.
Oh, I'm
excited about that.
Woohoo!
You know, I mean, you turn the pages because you want to know more about Amish. What's going to happen? Where is her path taking her? How is this leading her to the place that we all know she is in the Book of Mormon? And the way you've written her is very, you know, it makes her feel real.
I agree.
I wanted people to feel like she was approachable. Like they could find instances in their own lives when they felt like she did.
That's how you find a winning character. If you can relate to it right off the bat. Yep. If you cannot relate to at least someone in the book, it's just like, you know, I'm character driven. I've said that half a million times, and I really liked her as a character. So,
so you can tell when she's so antsy. She doesn't like being in the house or anything when she's first comes.
I know. I felt so bad for her.
I know. I did too.
Or she can, when we leave her, she's able to stand with everyone else for an hour, and be patient and wait and see and listen. I mean, just that development from what her youth. Mm-hmm. She's like, I just want to go outside. All this stuff, and then to a woman, and the fact that she's so beautiful on the outside. you know, everyone sees her as so beautiful, but you can really feel it on the inside when, you know,
well put.
Who she is on the inside. So go buy the book.
It's very good.
You'll enjoy it. Learn a little more about Avish.
You'll like what you read.
Yeah. We'll remember that forever now, won't we?
Congratulations on the publishing of your first novel.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
We hope it does well. It's been a fun ride. Well, and you have three of us right here that can nominate it for Whitney. Then only two other people would need to nominate it, and then it would be in the running for...
Yep. And it would be an honor just being nominated.
Oh, dear.
Seriously, you know, at this point, yeah. But yeah, it only takes five nominations to get into the huge running at the very beginning. Yeah. Well, before they narrow it down to the finalists. But yeah.
Well,
I think it will be there next year.
Contender, I think.
You bet it would.
Mm-hmm. We'll wait and see. Keep my fingers crossed. In the meantime, just keep busy. That's the key. Otherwise, just keep busy. Keep writing. I will.
Yeah, keep us on the list.
I certainly will.
We'd be glad to have you back after your mystery.
I would love to.
Or whichever book comes out first.
Yeah, either one.
That's when you'll come back.
Do a double header.
Absolutely.
It's been a pleasure having you here with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you. It's been great being here.
Yes, thank you.
I love being able to meet all these authors.
It's so much fun.
Inevitably, we always get along really well because we're the same...
We all love the books. Same blood.
We're book people.
We all love books. We all love reading. Yes,
books are our friends.
Yep. We are.
Absolutely.
And we're mothers, which is also nice.
Yes,
that is nice.
Yep.
And also we're kind of a little jealous.
A little.
Just a little.
Oh, of what? What are we jealous of? I'm sitting over here.
I'm like, Sheila, really?
What are we jealous of? I mean, yes, I'm very jealous you have your book up, but I'm just going, I thought we were all relating together. And I said, wait.
You can relate and be happy and still be a little bit jealous just because you crossed that hurdle and it's such a big hurdle.
You're in.
It is a big hurdle. It is nice to be through the door, I have to admit, but I'm as anxious to pull as many people through with me as I can.
Oh, that's so sweet.
There's plenty of room for all of us.
We will all sit together at the LDS Story Makers Conference.
Yes, we will.
We'll see you there.
Yes. We'll save each other spots.
That's right.
So don't forget to go check out Kim's website and her blog. Why don't you give us the addresses to those again?
All right. Well, www.kcgrant.com for the website.
And
I do have links to both my blog and then also my email address where you can personally email me questions. If you have any questions or there's anything you want to know, don't hesitate at all to ask me. But again, my blog was kcgrantwriterscornerblogspot.com.
And we'll get those added onto our homepage ASAP. And don't forget to go check out Storymakers Conference, LDS Storymakers, and the Whitney Awards, whitneyawards.com.
Right.
Finalists, and you know, go read them. Buy tickets if you want to go to the gala. Our websites, ldswomensbookreview.com and ldswbr.blogspot.com. And
yes.
Email us. We love to hear from you at
ldswbr@gmail.com. Or go to our blogspot and comment. We love to hear from people there.
You can get our email address through our profile and stuff on there too.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes. Thank you.
Yay.
And being with us.
Again, thank you. I've enjoyed it.
I know.
Well, that is my next birthday, so I'm getting a taste of what it feels like.
Oh, great.
Well, we've been 4 years doing this now.
I can't believe
it. Oh, it's unreal. I know.
Exciting. So we're
that's a milestone.
We'll be able to share this milestone with you.
Wonderful.
And keep reading. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.